You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you. And I always enjoy our get-together on Friday mornings here.
And today's Vancouver weather, very foggy, very wet.
Oh, it's at where I am, it's blowing a southeaster with rain and gusts, and it's just... I went out on a, I just opened the door just to check things outside, and the rain was going past my face like you wouldn't believe.
So and
it's an ugly day in Vancouver.
Yeah, now Tofino on Vancouver Island, which faces the Pacific, where there's great surfing, except this time of year, I think the waves are a little too big, too rough. And
maybe.
They're expecting 150 millimeters of rain. It's something like that, 6 inches. 6 inches of rain.
A deluge. And, oh, my God, yeah.
And some of those places along the coast, it's per hour, not just in total,
yeah.
Per hour.
Well, when they start giving snowfall or rain in millimeters, my mind just goes blank. It doesn't mean anything.
Well, just remember, a meter is about a yard, so...
But it's still... I think also it deliberately turns off. It's all an example of creeping meatballism. So,
well, I knew when they went with the gasoline going from a gallon to a liter, they can put more tax on it, and it doesn't seem bad. But I said, do it times four, and then you go, holy crap, that's $10 a gallon gasoline.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, anyway, something that's really caught my eye today is the precious metals really taking it on the chin. Gold, at the time of our conversation, has lost $500 an ounce.
Yeah, we wrote in yesterday's piece that silver particularly and gold was straight up. I mean, you know what I mean. And that is unsustainable. It's just that you really can't tell which week it's going to get corrected in, and we were just right on it. So now it's taken a hit. Now, what I think here is that in times of a great boom, which we have been in, let's call it the everything bubble, in the past, on great speculation, silver can be a leading instrument where if it suddenly breaks, it can be saying, hey, maybe the boom is over. And then it's also important relative to gold, and that also has been... So silver is giving a warning on the bubble. And then also the other one we noted is the Treasury bill rate. I'm using three months, or people can use 6 months. And it set a key high in May, June, and the T-bill rate has come down. And in 1929, the T-bill rate set a high, I think it was 5% in June of 1929, and then by the time you were in the worst part of the hit in July 1932, it was down to 0.08%. And that's what happens, is that short rates go up in a boom, and they go down in the bust. So this is where you've had a few months of Wall Street and Bay Street pundits going on that the central bankers are going to cut rates, and this is good for the boom, but it is diametrically opposite. And I'm going to repeat it. Short rates go up in a boom, and short rates go down in the bust. So we are now in a downtrend for T-bill rates, and that is suggesting disaster. So the those two items, silver and short rates, are suggesting that the everything bubble has come to an end. And it'll take a bit of work yet, but it sure looks the straight up and then the hard hit is outstanding. So, yeah.
President Trump is expected to nominate Kevin Warsh as the next head of the Fed. Do we know anything about Kevin Warsh?
Well, the headlines are saying that he's a really good guy and he's suitable for the job. He's the right one. And it doesn't matter who you have at the Fed. Because you take the history of the Federal Reserve, it was incorporated at Christmas 2013. And the people behind it were, you know, major bankers and whatnot, policy people. And they described the Federal Reserve as would be the lender of last resort. You're in a credit crisis and it's getting bad. Therefore, the Fed will come in and lend money to the street, and therefore there won't be any recessions. They knew that a credit crisis led to a recession. So the Federal Reserve, as lender of last resort, would prevent the credit crisis, and therefore there would be no more recessions. There's been 18 cyclical recessions since then, and one Great Depression. So how about that? Now, in most disciplines, all you need is one failure to discard the theory. This one has had 18 failures. But the whole of the financial and academic world needs the crutch of a central banker who has imaginary skills and abilities, you know, and these guys a great speculation will always be followed by a crash. So then at the height of the boom, nothing can go wrong because the Fed is there to make sure that nothing goes wrong. And then you get the crash, which is usually in the fall. And then the Fed will say, oh, if we hadn't have acted, the crisis would have gone on forever. So, I mean, the system is totally about mad. Mad and confused about... Mad is not angry. It means the madness of mind. About central banking, it's bloody hopeless. And yet, Wall Street, academics, and financiers and everything else, they all need the crutch of a central bank. Now, in the United States in the 1800s, there was a central bank was formed. And it was more or less identified as such. Now, there were still remnants of memories about that disaster. So this is why the Federal Reserve was not called a central bank, because it had such a bad name. So it was called the Federal Reserve System. I mean, really. And as I say, recessions were impossible. And we've had 18, and 19, number 19 is on the horizon.
Mm. Now, wasn't the Federal Reserve also designed to help prevent the collapse of banks? And yet in the U.S. every year, four or five banks collapse.
No, it was meant to, as I said, to prevent a widespread collapse. So you fix one bank or fix this, and then you don't get a serious contraction, but as I said, 18 recessions says that the Federal Reserve System does not work.
Now, when you said Kevin Warsh is a good guy, does that mean he's a pro, let's get interest rates as low as possible guy?
All I read about him is that the street likes him, and then I thought, okay, they like him, fine, but he will be no better or worse than any other central banker. First of all, you take a chart of T-bill rates since 1914, and you take a chart of the Fed funds rate and the changes in market rates shown by the T-bill leads the changes by the administered rate. So it is flagrant nonsense.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, the first headline that caught my eye was the Canadian Revenue Agency, our tax collectors, has fired 103 employees over misconduct and the illegal claiming of CERB, the emergency benefit given to people during the COVID epidemic. I think it was $5,000 or something like that. The majority of that 103 had illegally claimed it while they were still employed. It was supposed to be a one-time top-up for unemployed people.
Yeah.
How many people do you think did that?
Well, it's hard to say, but at least they're nailing some of them. And that it goes forward suggests that Ottawa could be becoming a little more self-critical. Because in previous ages, something like this would have been buried forever. It wouldn't get out. So.
Yeah, so collecting illegal COVID benefits.
Yeah.
Now, a headline from CNN Business. The Fed admits it can't fix an economic problem it helped create. What was the problem and why can't it fix it?
Well, the problem is a bust. A recession or a potential recession. So that was a remarkably honest headline. That when I saw it, it just jumped out at me, so we had to put it in our list of headlines. And we've covered it. Yep.
Our next headline of interest, another day, another high. Gold surge is past $5,100 as investors seek shelter from global risks. But as we saw today, a $500 drop in the price of gold and silver took a huge shot as well.
Yeah, well, it just got stretched to the limit. But, you know, I was going through some old papers the other day, and I've got it set here. I'm going to scan it. It was, it was back when gold was around $360. And the line was that it was less than that. Gold was more like 300. And my line was, what do you call $400 gold? And the answer was a start. And now we're up to $5,000 gold. And it's actually a measure of the folly of government-run economies and government-run central banks. And you've had 125 years, approximately, of what I've called tyrannical century, whereby governments expand, they conduct wars against other countries and effectively are conducting a war against its own citizens because it taxes them to the limit. And then it robs them of the rest of their money through inflation, debasement. And then eventually the public gets wise to it, which is happening now, and throws it off. But the key to this, Jim, is a big burst of inflation. And we're getting some of that, but we're also, people are very well chuffed up about it. So I think we're clocking the end of a tyrannical century. The previous one ran from 1500 to the early 1600s, and it's best reviewed in England because in the late 1500s, Germany was ravished by the 40 Years' War, and others have called it the 80 Years' War. But anyways, England was able to conduct a reform movement that began in the 1620s, and then it was made even more formal with the 1688 Glorious Revolution. And that is just where ordinary folks, from workers in the fields or factories or anywhere, said enough and moved to against authoritarian government. Now, that was headed up by King James. And he was upset about something, so he threatened to bring Catholic French troops over to impose his will. And that's what really prompted the political tide against him. And to his credit, he noticed it, and his advisors noticed it. So he then sought solace in authoritarian France. So if anybody's interested in it, the Wikipedia write-up on the Glorious Revolution is really quite good. They've got a good handle on it. So we are heading into another glorious revolution. Revolution is a hard word. I would call it a glorious reformation. Revolution implies nasty things like the Russian Revolution or the French Revolution, and those were nasty as statists imposed their will, whereas a reformation is the opposite, where the public throws the statists out. I like it.
Now, Gerald Celente from the Trends Journal, who we had on our show This Week in Money, last week or the week before, said the election of a socialist mayor in New York is a wake-up call for American capitalism, because he said young people have given up hope of ever owning a home.
Yep.
Their jobs are, you get a 1% or 2% pay raise a year, so there's no hope of getting ahead of inflation. So his promises of keeping rents under at a cap, free transit, free daycare, he said, very attractive.
Oh, yeah, compelling. But it's impossible. The finances of New York City are effectively controlled by the capital in Albany, the state capital in Albany. So, no, he is an idiot, and that's the way it is.
Headline from FX Leaders, China's Silver Rush, Antis as they're called, line up in Shenzhen as retail buyers swamp refiners and banks trying to get as much silver as they can.
Oh, yeah. This is the retail trade lining up to buy, and that's definitely a sign of an important top. Mm. Yeah.
Yes. Now, apparently at Walmart, you could get gold, but I've never seen any, and apparently it's because it's always sold out. You could buy it by the gram.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Now, from Zero Hedge, heavily shorted USA rare earth to soar after U.S. government takes 10% stake.
Yeah. USA rare earth, yeah. I think the mania, or the rare earth story has become a mania. And then if government is going into it, that confirms that it's a mania.
Now, the U.S. government also took a stake in Intel. Somebody said to me, does that mean that Donald Trump's turning communist? Because he's now having government money put into commercial ventures?
Yeah, where... no, this is not good stuff. No. The government shouldn't be in so-called investing in things.
Well, in Japan, the government's the biggest stockholder now.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That is an interesting one.
Yeah. Okay, another headline that caught your eye. Climate Depot reports polar colding. Antarctica sees its coldest October in 44 years.
Yeah. Now, that's their summer. And it clocks the coldest number in 44 years. And the global warmers have been distorting numbers. And it's pathetic that they're having to do that. Oh, my screen's just gone black. Anyways, it's sad that they have to do that, but it is a promotion. You do as I say, and I take your money in order to tell you what to do. It is, and I think the climate scam has been on for 30 years. Well, and they've got, I saw one recently with Al Gore that, you know, in his mind it is still a threat, but some of these pundits in the climate, it doesn't matter what it is, warming or cooling or rain or drought, it's your fault. And that reminds me of in the 1500s in Northern Europe, the climate was cooling, something awful. And poor harvests, and not only poor harvests for people, but also the quality of the grass in the fields was much diminished. So the cattle and sheep and all that, pigs and stuff, that really weren't doing well either. So it was hard times in a cooling trend with increasing precipitation. And then the magistrates, i.e. The authority in each community, had to have a culprit. And it was witches. It was witches causing the bad weather, and thousands of witches were executed.
Burned
I'm telling
stick.
You now, who knows, 2,000 or 3,000 witches were executed because they were affecting the weather. Now, the pitch about bad weather being the cause is not just witches. But it's you and me, our wives, and our children. So it's very democratic now. It's from adults to teenagers to infants are now causing the bad weather that in the 1500s was only caused by witches. So as I say, modern times, very democratic.
Well, I just watched a documentary about witches, and Germany alone burned at the stake between 40 and 60,000 people. And men were included as well, not just women.
I didn't know the number was as high as that. I knew that there was a relentless, unrelenting movement, and thousands of women were executed.
Now, a headline here that has to do with climate change as well. Al Gore wants to pay farmers to grow less food to fight climate change.
Yeah, that was the headline that was floating around my mind. Yeah, I double-checked that, and I found it in a couple of sources. And, yeah, growing less, saving the planet from... Now, here's what, Jim, where they're absolutely wrong. You take almost a billion years of history with life on Earth, and it always does better in a warming trend. And I think it was about 500 million years ago when the planet went into planet ice ball, or maybe it was just one huge slush ball, and everything was covered with ice. And then, you know, let's just go back to the extent of the last ice age, and the ice got down as far south as where Chicago is now. The ice is there, lifted up, and what kind of life forms you're going to get under a glacier? Pretty grim. So the astonishing thing is that they were able to twist a beneficial warming to a threat to life on Earth. It is amazing. Yeah.
Headline here from Zero Hedge: Amazon cuts 16,000 jobs as tech layoffs accelerate in 2026.
Yeah. Then also we're getting in California with the a very woke, intrusive governor there. And over the last number of months, originally the Los Angeles Basin and offshore there was very productive in crude oil. So there's been production there for well over 100 years, and with refineries, and the refiners were keeping them up to date on pollution and all that sort of stuff. But then the governor of California is so woke, and he's making all the rules and regulations such that they can't operate. So they're just shutting down their refineries and moving out. And they're having to pipeline gasoline in from Nevada or somewhere, and then the people in Nevada don't like this, because I think I saw one quote where gasoline in California got up to $10 a gallon. So at any rate, this woke idiot is so discouraging to ordinary businesses that they're leaving. And worse, the guy just doesn't understand it. So it's going to take a tremendous hit to the California economy before the electorate gets onto it and votes in a practical governor. I think it'll happen.
And a shocking headline that just came in from CTV News here is Canadian actress Catherine O'Hara has died at the age of 71. She starred in Best in Show lately in Schitt's Creek and on SCTV, a favorite of a lot of us comedy fans back in the 80s. So condolences to her friends, families, and her fans. And now, Bob, you had an interesting tale about exploration for us.
Yeah, this was way back. There was a very good copper mine discovered and put into production called Craigmont up near Merritt. And it was actually a very easy drive from Merritt. It was up a hill, but was it just a kind of gentle... down in, and all the surface was all dirt and shrubs and sagebrush and all that kind of stuff, so nothing too serious. But anyways, Franklin was the guy I ended up working for quite a few summers in the field, and then his friend, he was Renshaw, and they had a liking for a lot of beer, so anyways... So one time that, and also the hill was steep enough that there really were tight turns on it. And so well, they were kind of racing to the beer parlor at Merritt, and Renshaw rolled his car. Oh, it went off the road, and it rolled down the gentle slope and came onto its wheels. He had to turn the car around, but it really wasn't damaged, or he wasn't hurt. And then the other story, and this is the one that's critical, Neil McDermott was the promoter guy who was raising the money for the company, and they just had to keep it going, and he even mortgaged his house to put money in to keep the thing going. And Franklin knew that they were out of money, so he and Renshaw went down to the pub in Merritt, and he told the driller, "Now stop drilling at this depth because we're out of money." Okay. So they come up, maybe 11:30, midnight, and they get to the job, and the driller is still drilling. And Franklin gets out of his car and says, "What the hell's going on?" And the driller says, "Come look at the core box." Now, when those you take diamond drill core, lay it out in the box, and you look at it, in this case, it was feet and feet and feet of peacock ore. It's a special, very high-grade bornite, high-grade ore of mineral containing copper. So that was the discovery hole. And the driller had enough sense that he could see, he knew that that was good stuff, and then he just kept drilling. And then when Franklin and Renshaw got up there, that was, you can just imagine the excitement of pulling a long hole of very high-grade copper mineral. Wow. Anyways, that's the story.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, and let's look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com, and Bob will answer that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.